Hello and welcome to episode 35 of Not Another Rugby Podcast, brought to you by ruck.co.uk and Altius Images. I'm your host, Todd Dudley, and I'm joined, as always, by the editor-in-chief of ruck.co.uk and my co-host, Steve Smith. Steve-o, back to it again. How you doing, mate?
Mate, we're finally back, and we couldn't have come back on a quieter day, could we, you know?
Yeah, mate, we just thought we'd dip in while there's nothing to talk about. Just have a nice general chat about ruggers.
First, we've got to start with another rough topic.
Yeah, another dark day.
I swear we've only done podcasts this year, like the week after or the week of when clubs have went bust.
Well, that, mate, that seems to have been I think it's every other week, to be honest. So
it does. I wonder who's next.
But yes, for those that don't know, London Irish are no more, unfortunately. They have suffered the same fate as, well, I don't know the technicality, it might not be exactly the same fate, but pretty much the same fate as Wasps and Worcester earlier in the year. Do you know any more intricacies or detail?
Basically, I think Mick Crossan, who was the owner of London Irish, has just decided he doesn't want to fund the project anymore. Takeover hasn't been complete. I think this takeover just seems, don't know how real it was. There was lots of chat whether they just wanted to get hold of the training ground and the assets. So it's sad. It's a sad situation.
It is very sad. It is very sad. So, yeah, they've been suspended from the Premiership because they've missed the deadline to pay players and staff. And they were given an extension on that and they still didn't do it.
Some reports suggest they were even just lying to staff even at like half six, like half an hour before the statement. So you just got to feel sorry for the people because lots of good people work at London Irish.
Well, that's the thing. Obviously, it is sad for the players and they generally will get the kind of headlines in this, but a lot of those guys will probably be picked up, fingers crossed. But there's a lot of staff at rugby clubs as well, particularly one the size of Irish. And there's only so many of those jobs going around in rugby. So yeah, it's very, very, very sad to see. For a team who on the pitch have been playing very well, the stadium's unreal.
Even the atmosphere was picking up this season.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, just when you think things are getting better.
They just
all the
just
years of the Majeski, they sort of survived, where they seemed to be like it just seemed a bit soulless.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was finally getting back to the way it was, or where it used to be.
They were only, you know, three points off the top four, which is pretty crazy, really, that a team like that's in this kind of situation. So
and they should have really got into the top four, really.
I think they bottled it. It's probably a bit harsh, but they probably should.
Well, all this stuff was probably teetering on behind the scenes, and even before we could really get a real grasp on what was happening.
Yeah, yeah. So sad to see. I'm sure more will come out over the next weeks and months, as it did with Worcester and Wasps. But for now,
even them two, since we last spoke, it's like they've both been, things have gone from bad to even worse.
Yeah, I know. The only thing I did hear the other day is that there is a chance, apparently, that any of these teams might not have to start like right at the bottom of the structure again.
I found it odd how it was like, oh, you either have to start in the, you can start in the championship next year or you're completely out. Like,
yeah.
But the RFU's in charge of the system.
Well, I think even if they miss next year, I think there's going to be a system where they can almost apply to be in the championship. So if they kind of prove they've got X, Y, and Z, they just kind of get bumped into there.
I think they could even benefit. If you're going to start a new business, benefit from having a year below a national one.
Yeah, maybe.
Start your club semi-professional so you're not paying everyone full time.
Yeah, so that wage bill is not too ridiculous.
Like, what's the cost of running those championship clubs? It's quite high, I think.
It must be. Yeah, it must be. They're not all full time, are they? But the full time ones must be. But yeah, it must be pretty high. So yeah, we're down to 10 for next year, as it stands.
That's what they wanted.
Down to 10, which, I mean, it's a nice round number. At least we don't have bye weeks, I suppose. But yeah,
that is a bit better. The bye weeks were annoying me.
A Premiership without Worcester is not that uncommon. Without a London Irish is more.
I think they had one season down when Andy Goode sent them down.
But that's really strange. But then without Wasps and without the three of them together, it's
technically we've lost two. Wasps are no longer in London, but we've lost two of the historical London clubs. We lost London Welsh. I think Richmond went to the wall back in the day. Literally, like the London clubs are the ones who seem to aim for the stars and fall a bit more.
Yeah. Well, on to Brighton news. Speaking of a London club, congratulations to Saris for winning the Prem. It's never in doubt.
Good try, Sale.
It's never in doubt. Never in doubt.
No. They're such a good side, aren't they? I think they proved everyone they're still great. I don't think the Premiership's at its peak at the minute. So I don't know what you can take from this into, like, you know, like a World Cup and stuff. But it's good to see the some of the key England players winning something again, because I feel like they just seemed a bit low, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, and it seemed like it really like meant a lot to them as well. Like, I reckon maybe even more than it meant the last few times. Like, I think the kind of redemption story of, like, going down, winning, coming back up.
Yeah. I've seen some people take issue with the word redemption, because it's like...
But it, for the players, it is redemption, isn't it?
I guess so.
It's not so much for the owners and for the club, but for the individual players, it is redemption, because they've all been kind of, like, scapegoated and blacklisted, even though it's really, other than them getting paid too much, it's really nothing to do with them. So I think for the players, it actually is redemption, I think.
Do you think, like, the salary cap thing is the reason these clubs went bust? Because I've seen some people go, well, if we had a lower salary cap, none of these clubs would have went bust. But I was like, they've obviously been ran terribly as a business.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a salary cap's fault.
No,
you know?
No. I don't know enough about it.
But no, same. But do you know what I mean? Like, everyone's saying, oh, if the salary cap was lower, these three clubs would have still existed. And I was like, I don't think that's necessarily
true. I'm not sure
true.
That's true.
When you're losing £4-5 million a year, knocking 200,000 off a salary cap's not making a huge...
I think we've had this chat before, but, like, rugby at the moment is, at least in the Premiership, is reliant on rich owners and rich backers.
And the RFU.
And the RFU. So when things are tough for those owners, or they lose interest or decide they can't afford it, I think it's probably actually more likely to be a bit of a hangover from COVID.
Yeah.
Really. And that's just taken longer than we maybe expected to kind of pan out.
I think that's probably true, because I think a lot of these clubs survived year by year, didn't they? And then you wouldn't have expected that hit as well. Plus, all these owners might have had hits on their other businesses, and that might be mean they've taken money out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Just the value of Premiership clubs is funny, because it's like, I know that, like, Steve Lansdowne's got a load of money at Bristol, but I wonder how much, if he saw Bristol Bears, it would be worth, because I guess the club's owned by the stadium's owned by the football club.
Yeah. I think that's the thing. It would mostly be...
You'd hope to sell it as a group one, I think.
It'd mostly be assets, really. That
I'm still living the dream that PIF, Saudi Arabian Fund's going to buy the Falcons.
Hey, mate, strange things have happened. Literally yesterday, strange things have happened.
It would literally be just change, wouldn't it?
I reckon, yeah, mate, you never know.
Put your golf to the side.
You never know. They bought the PGA, next on their list.
Newcastle Falcons.
The Newcastle Falcons. I'm surprised they haven't just, like, chucked a few mil, whoever's taken over from the football club. I'm surprised they haven't just chucked a few mil. You know what I mean?
Well, I know the Newcastle women play there, so you would be getting in their owner's ear, wouldn't you? Like, come on, spare change.
You might as well. That's kind of the Bristol model, right? Like Bristol Sport. Where
Newcastle was the original team did that. Sir John Hall had the Falcons, the football club, the basketball team, the ice hockey team.
Well, there you go. Now we're initiating it to be the Saudis instead.
I think they're all copying Barcelona. I think Barcelona were the first to do that.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes sense if you've got someone with a boatload of cash, I suppose. Which we unfortunately up here don't seem to have, but oh well. I mean, it's kind of been and gone, but any particular thoughts on the Prem final? Other than Sarri's being quite good?
I think Farrell's captain, leader, starting every game for England now.
Forever.
If he wasn't
forever.
Before.
Forever.
Why do I think George Ford and Farrell are going to start together?
10 and 12.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, mate, Ford was really good as well, to be fair. He didn't exactly have a bad game. Yeah, Farrell's good, eh?
Wonder if Smith's going to be tempted by this offer from abroad, if he thinks he's going to be pushed to the side with England.
It's tricky. To be honest, I think it would actually... If he can get a little too... Almost a bit like Joe Marchand did. If he can go away for a year or two, I think now would maybe be
perfect time.
A perfect time to do it.
And then come back for the next World Cup cycle.
Yeah.
I agree, actually, because I think he's going to be just... I think Borthwick's going to pick him because he doesn't want to
get the
outcry from supporters, but I'm not sure he's going to feature.
I think he'll be on the bench. I reckon he'll be 23rd man and just like chuck him on if we're struggling. Like if we need to... I mean, that's at the best as well, because I'm not even sure he might do that.
Because you've got two fly-halves on the pitch, you might as well have a winger and a centre on the bench.
Or does he use him against a Chile to rest Farrell?
Yeah, you probably do that.
You could probably play at 10 against Chile, to be fair, and do a job. No disrespect to Chile, of course. I'm sorry to all of our Chile listeners. But yeah, so what I think, we don't need to bang on about too much, but what impressed me the most about Saris this year is that they've obviously like had to bounce back and redemption, or maybe not redemption, or whatever. But they've also basically completely changed their style of play.
Yeah.
Like they've just like completely gone away from just like what they used to do, which they're still very good at when they need to do it. But they're so expansive. Their attacking kicking game is unreal. Their like patterns in attack is insane. They get the ball to Daly, to Farrell, to Goode in space.
It's like they had a year off to transform their game. And it's worked really well.
It's crazy how good they are, man.
I've loved the story of Exeter Chiefs, but I enjoy them not being in the final.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice to have Sherlock.
I'm bored of the line out drive.
And the pick and go from
it's 2 hours. Room 101 line out drive.
Line out drives into the bin.
Yeah, straight
in. I mean, Sale are pretty good at it as well.
Well, it's a really good basic way to score tries, yeah, isn't it? It is. Why do you think George McGuigan was getting like 18 a year at the Falcons?
I did actually think there was a moment, I think it was like the 60-minute mark-ish, where Rob Dupree put in a grubber kick that bounced over the head of the Sarri defender, went out for a 50-22, and I was like, catch and drive, Sale going to score, comeback's on. And then they like fucked it. That was the only one that fucked all game. I was like, oh, okay, well, that was your chance. Now it's gone.
And it's a shame.
But shout out to Sale as well, man. Like, Sarri's are very good.
They're doing a good thing of creating a bit of a vibrant atmosphere at Sale, which I didn't think was possible.
Yeah.
That was the thing. Like, the atmosphere at places like Sale and London Irish really picked up the last year.
Yeah. But it's successful.
Falcons
success,
have cooled
right?
off, I think. But yeah, you're right. I think that's what it is. If you're
keep
a good
winning
side.
Games, yeah. Yeah, exactly. But I think this is very much, I think Sanderson said it after the game, I think this is definitely the start of the Sale journey rather than the end.
Yeah,
of it. Sometimes you've got to lose one to win one, haven't you?
I think Steve Diamond had set them on the way, hadn't he? Like,
yeah,
he got them moving in the right direction. Sanderson's come in. What they've always done, Sale, a bit better than others, is keep having more of a streamlined squad, like not as many players. And I think that helps you.
And also, crucially, signing massive South African people.
Yeah, that's always a good one. It's a good idea.
That definitely
big English
as well.
People as well. Johnny Hill.
Yes.
George Ford.
Manu.
George Ford's not big, but you know what I mean? Like, good players.
Big in sort of stature.
Yeah.
No, not big in stature, big in presence.
Yeah, exactly.
Manu looks good as well.
He does, doesn't he?
Like the Beacons.
See, we're going to have Ford, Farrell, Manu.
Ford, Farrell, Manu. Yeah, we're back to it.
Johnny May getting a recall.
Johnny May on the wing. Who can we have at 15?
Good.
That might be a...
Mike Brown.
That's almost too
player,
much of a throwback. Mike Brown would be a good one. Yeah. Danny Kerr at nine.
Yeah. We could literally play the same team as around 2016.
Jack Noll on the other wing.
He's pulled out already.
It actually might be quite similar.
It won't be too far. I think if you said what we've said so far, apart from Brown and put Stewart and then put Malins in on the other wing, it could easily be that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Johnny May's time is maybe done, unfortunately, but...
Probably needs a shout out as being like a proper legend, really, though. Second top try scorer of all time.
Man, I've banged the Johnny May drum on this pod since day one.
Put respect on his name.
Yeah, put respect on his name, mate. The streets will never forget Johnny May. Mate, should we just fly into... Because I think everyone's heard enough about the Prem now, because we're a week late, basically, aren't we?
Yeah.
Shall we just go into... We want to pick an England team, obviously, because that's what we do every other podcast. But before that, some
England
squads...
England squad, man.
Well, an England squad, yeah. So some squads have been announced. So we've got the Ireland squad, I believe. We've got the Scotland squad, I believe. And I believe we have the Wales squad as well. Is that correct?
Oh, by the way, how brutal was that axing of Rhys Kerr? If you don't know, he got axed. Was it because he didn't hit his bench press record or something?
Well, so I think... It's worth getting the statement up.
To read the exact wording.
So in the past, PVAC called him out for something along the lines of like falling behind on his conditioning. Something like that.
I'm glad my boss doesn't call me out on that. Jesus.
Yeah, mate, me and you would be struggling if that was an issue in our line of work.
Actually, he probably has before, to be fair.
And now, it was... So, following ongoing discussions between the player and the Wales coaching team, Carrier has failed to meet individual performance targets set at the end of the 2023 Guinness Six Nations. The strange thing for me is putting him in the squad in the first place. They put him in the squad, and then like 6 days later, they released a statement saying, nah, he's gone because he's overweight.
You know, just give him a bit of time.
That's why I keep him in. Like, you've got 3 months to like work with him. Like,
yeah, it's longer than 6 weeks, three months.
It was very strange.
And he is a good player.
And in 2022, Wayne Pivac said, Reece went to South Africa and he was given a brief coming back as to what we expected from him in terms of his general conditioning, getting himself in the right shape to play international rugby. And he's fallen short of that. So he's got a lot of hard work to do with his club. He's having some big moments in games, which is clear for everyone to see, but at test level, it's about 60 or 20 minutes of intense rugby. And he hasn't quite reached the level of conditioning required to survive in our camps. So he's got a bit of history for it. I feel a bit for him because he bangs out... I mean, I know international rugby is different, but he bangs out 65, 75 minutes of rugby every week for his club.
Yeah.
And plays well. So I do feel a bit for him that he's like not maxed out his Watt bike score, so therefore he's not allowed in. Or maybe he's like literally like I probably was when I was like doing fitness at hockey as the goalkeeper. Like, CBS. You know, the kid that's like 80 metres behind everyone.
Yeah.
And everyone's finished, everyone's had their drink, everyone's recovered already. Like, some people are stretching.
That's where the prop should be.
And then he's like, oh shit, yeah, here he
comes. That's where the prop should be.
Yeah, I mean, it probably is, isn't it? But, so I just don't think it's a great look from Wales.
I've enjoyed Wales as sort of calamitous.
It's not great, is it?
The whole year's been a bit of a mess.
But, like, I don't get why you put him in first. Did they not have to, but I suppose you've got to put him in.
It's nice to know that how, I know we've had a really... you know, good chat there about the problems in English rugby, but Wales, they're keeping us looking okay. Four clubs in mess.
Well, here's
international squad.
Here's a prediction.
Everyone's just ran away.
Here's a prediction for
World
you.
World Cup
then.
Final.
No, don't get out of the group. I think Georgia get out of the group above them. Or Fiji do.
You know
Wales
what?
Could lose their group.
To be fair, you know, like, I mean, the Pacific Islands are going to be the interesting teams to look at because, like, in terms of they've got extra firepower now. So, like, Fiji might have like a Nathan Hughes at eight.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what Nathan Hughes has been doing.
Tonga. I've got
the back line.
It's ridiculous. They got Falau. There's another one that I think I'm forgetting. But either way,
Steve Lewis. Is Lewis playing for Samoa?
I'm not sure. Oh, I bumped into him on the golf course the other day. I meant to send you that picture. Yeah, he was hacking it. I was playing golf down in Bristol, and he was coming up my fairway the wrong way, and he was in the bunker on my hole. But he got out, and then shanked his next one as well. But lovely man, lovely man.
Doesn't look like the golfing type.
No, it was a clumsy swing is probably a bit generous. But big, as you'd probably expect. Still trying to find these squads that we haven't seen yet, mate. Here we go. Is this it? Have Ireland announced their squad, or am I just completely wrong?
No, they definitely have. I'm trying to remember if there was anything interesting in it. I don't think it was that interesting. I think it was just what you'd expect.
Here we go.
Sexton's in,
yeah, not a shock. I mean, I'm scrolling through this list like I'm going to see anything worth talking about, but there's really not.
Don't think there was. I think it was literally just sort of everyone you would expect.
Keith Earl's still doing the damn thing. He's in it. Of course he is. Good to see Stockdale in. He hasn't had much go of it for Ireland recently, but it's good to see him in. No Jordan Lama. I always liked Jordan Lama, but so I was kind of hoping to see him, but understandably not in it.
Do you see Mac Hansen's tattoo?
No.
He's got a tattoo of Andy Farrell on his leg.
Has he actually?
Yeah.
That is unbelievable.
It's outrageous, to say the least. It's horrendous.
Oh my God, that is horrendous. Could he not have chosen a better picture of Andy Farrell?
I know.
Oh, what a boy. What a player, by the way.
I like him.
Oh, that's so
I like
bad.
James Lowe.
I like, mate, their back three's class, mate. Hanson, Lowe and Keenan. So good. It is so good. Scotland squad, again, kind of what you'd expect, I think. Right?
Rest of the world.
Like
Noah's Ark, there's two from every country in there.
But are there two from Scotland? That's the question. Who in there is like out and out Scottish? Finn?
Well, actually, it's kind of strange. They're usually they're better players. So like Hoggy,
true,
Finn.
True.
Jamie Ritchie. Like Johnny Greer, Richie Greer.
Ali Price isn't Scottish, is he?
No, he's from Norfolk.
Blair Kingwood?
I think he is Scottish.
Again, one of their better players.
Feels like a test.
Van der Merwe, definitely not.
He's good. Something Scottish in there.
Ben White, no. Hamish Watson, no. George Turner, he's definitely Scottish.
I think he might be.
He's got to be. Good to see Ewan Ashman in there. I think he might start.
Isn't he American?
I reckon. Ewan Ashman?
I can't remember.
Let's say yeah. Why not? Why not? But all of that really was just a sort of rigmarole to get to us to chatting about the England squad.
Just thought
we should probably mention the other nations.
We need to like discuss, before we do this, we need to discuss what we're picking here, because we've done it before. Are we picking what we think both of us are going to pick, or are we picking our own outrageous squad, or what we want to see?
We could do both.
We could do both.
We're only, what are we in? We're 22 minutes
in.
Do we
have
plenty
the
of
same
time.
Parameters where we can't pick overseas players, or can we just do what we want? It's Christian Wade you'd have it.
Yeah, you might do, mightn't you? I think we
apart from that, probably no one else.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we can do whatever we want, I reckon.
I think Steve can.
No, Steve's not allowed.
We just want to see if the RFU is going to give the Irish players dispensation next season to go overseas. Surely they will. I think they should extend the Wasps one as well now. That's the one good thing that might come out of this, Todd, I've just thought. They might extend that dispensation for Wasps, Worcester, and now add London Irish.
And now Irish players.
To play anywhere they want, play for England. Which means Willis is back in.
Willis would be back in.
Apart from that.
Willis is allowed anyway, isn't he?
It won't be after the World Cup.
After the World Cup, I'm with you.
This is what I mean. Like, yeah, you extend it for next season.
Yeah.
And then just put it in the bin at the end of next season.
Just let everyone go wherever they want to go.
And you've got 10 teams with about 700 players.
I've literally gone insane. I definitely saw a comment on the England Rugby Instagram. They were saying when that squad's going to be announced.
I think the actual squad's announced on the 12th of August.
No, but the wider squad, I think, is being announced quite soon.
I feel like, yeah.
What are we picking? Are we picking a 23? Are we picking the starting 23 for the first gate, for the warm-up game, for the first group game? What are we doing?
We could pick a squad of 33.
Pick a squad of 33. Okay, I like it. We can do that. We can do that. All right, so... Props. Should we start with
props?
It's boring, isn't it? Let's start with props. Well, let's just start with front row, shall we?
Yeah.
I'm going to go Ellis Genge.
I think Ellis Genge will be in. I think he's probably vice-captain, so he's in.
Yeah, agreed.
There's no real... Sinclair's in, but I'm just going to say, like, there's a bit of a worry with form... On the tight head side.
Yeah, I agree.
Don't think anyone's been fantastic.
Mako's been good.
He's a loose head.
I'm so bad at that. It's hilarious.
Like, seen one list and it's like Trevor Taverson and Dan Cole. And I'm like...
Oh, Dan Cole might be in, you know.
Although, is Will Stewart fit again?
I don't know. Probably.
Harry Williams?
No, he's done.
Finished.
Will Stewart's a good shout. I think Will Stewart's
a good
shout.
Is he Italian? I can't remember.
Who knows, mate? Who knows? He's going in our generic props list. So
Jamie George
really
is in.
He's not a prop. Jamie George is in. What about Theo Dam?
I was going to say Theo Dam.
Is he in?
I think he is.
Spiral off the right for a 50-22, 3 minutes before.
I think you've
got to
be in if you can do that.
Mate, you've got to be in. Theo Dam, get in the team.
The third one's harder.
Could it be could be a Jamie Blamire. Don't think it will.
I feel like Theo Dan's taking our Blamire spot. You know what I mean?
George McGuigan.
I was thinking George McGuigan.
Maybe.
He'll pick Jack Walker, and I'll be confused why he's picked him over McGuigan.
I hope he doesn't.
But I would pick McGuigan. I think McGuigan.
Okay. Let's go with those are our three: George, Dan, McGuigan. Oh, is Cameron Dickey allowed to play?
Don't know what's wrong with him. I don't know where he is, what he's doing. Some say he's in the French cell or something. I don't know.
I'm going to get rid of McGuigan and put Cameron Dickey in because I think Cameron Dickey's going to be fit. And
I think he's going to end up at Sale.
In the mixer.
Which is good for Sale.
Cameron Dickey, do you reckon?
Yeah, I think so.
That'd be a good signing.
There was rumours he'd been linked with Stade Français, but I was like, after the Montpellier one collapsed, I don't know why you would be allowed to then move to Stade.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, Sale love taking some sort of troubled youth, don't they?
Yeah.
Mate, to be fair, they're three very good hookers, by the way. Jamie George, Theo Dan, and Luke Andicke. I like that.
Theo Dan's the wild card.
We could do with some more props though, mate. We've currently got Ennis Genge. And that's about it. So
Joe Marler? I don't think he'd be in, but I think would he be in our squad? See, this is where we've got to dictate the difference.
I don't think he would actually now.
No, you don't?
Nah. Nah. I don't think so. But then I don't know who would be.
I don't know who would be.
Which is probably an issue. Are we really that bad in the front row at the moment, or are we just being thick?
Sinclair will be in.
Sinclair we got. Yeah, Sinclair we got.
Benno Urbano? Hasn't really played that much, has he?
No.
Ash, where are you?
Just trying to avoid putting Dan Cole in.
I think we might struggle to avoid that, to be honest.
Trevor Davison can play both sides, so I can see why people might have put him in.
Bevan Rod,
yeah, I like Roddy. Yeah. Roddy, Bevan.
Should we get Reece Carey?
It was just like mumble.
Can you get called up? Thomas Francis.
Mine's
got blank on the tops.
I mean, it's not our forte, is it?
Oh, the Val Rapava Ruskin.
Apparently, Borthers hates him.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Joe Hayes, Will Collier.
Joe Hayes is a good shout. Joe Hayes is a good shout.
Why does Borthers hate him? Because he's got a Georgian name.
No, apparently they had an argument about. Ironically, talking about Reece Carey, I think they had an argument in camp about his fitness. Because Borthwick was like, you're not fit enough, you need to be fitter. And Rapava Ruskin was like, I play 80 minutes every single week. I'm like leading in metres gained, leading in steals, leading in tackles and whatever. Apparently they had a bit of an argument
about it. Bit of a 1-2.
Apparently so, yeah. So I can't see him being in.
Should be, though.
Joe Hayes is a good chat. Joe Hayes.
Again, this is our squad, not Forfa's squad.
I know. But is it? I don't know what we're doing.
No.
Oh, God. No one knows what
we're
doing.
Who we got so far?
Okay, so we've got Ennis Genge.
Yep.
I snuck Dan Cole on there.
You snuck down who?
Dan Cole.
Oh, you dirty dog.
Bevan Rod.
Yep.
Joe Hayes.
Yep.
Carl Sinclair. Mako. Will Stewart. And then the three hookers.
Have we not got too many props
so
that, now?
Yeah, that's now too many props. We've now got too many props. So let's get rid of Dan Cole. Do we need three each? We don't need three each side, do we?
I think we probably...
Or do we? We probably do for the wider squad.
Yeah, probably three each. How many have we got then? Are we finished?
Well, we've got six, but I don't know which side they will play.
Who are the six?
Genge.
Yeah.
Rod.
Yep.
Hayes, Sinclair, yep. Mako, yep. Will Stewart.
I think that's fine. Is that we'll right? go with that.
Okay, fine. If not, Genge
Mako can
do
always
job,
play on both sides.
Yeah, or Mako, yeah, it's fine. Okay, great. Let's move on to something
easy.
More exciting because no, literally, even
that was
rows,
a real struggle for us. I think
even
from
rows, don't care about that. Right, second rows. How many second rows do we want?
Four. I think.
Okay, four's a good number. Four's a good number. So front row, we've got nine. Second row, we want four. Maratoja.
It just depends where you put people with, like, do we put Courtney Laws down here? Ollie Chessam.
Even a Chessam, yeah. Like, Ollie Chessam, I think, is in as a second rower. I think if we just say now, we'll put Laws in the back row.
Yeah.
Marrow and Chessam in the second row. Yes?
Yeah. What about George Martin? He's been playing well.
He has been very good.
I'd be interested to know, how is Joe Launch play? How is he? Are you okay,
where,
Joe?
Where is he? He signed, who's he signed? He signed for Quinn, hasn't he? Yeah,
but he's been in Japan, just chilling. I just imagine him just finding him, and he's just like in a spoons like this, just like
waiting for the call.
Is George Cruz available?
Well, didn't we have? I think we mentioned that. We spoke to him on the pod.
Yeah,
and then the next episode, you and I said, "Rogue shout." I reckon Cruz might be back. Might play in the World Cup next. The next World Cup, and then 4 hours later, he announces retirement.
I still believe.
Like, you could have given me that exclusive 2 days ago on the podcast.
I still believe.
That's fine.
I do enjoy a bit of Johnny Hill shithouse.
Really. I was just going to say Johnny Hill's probably got to be thrown in the mixer. I would say Itoje and Chesham are nailed on.
David Rivens. Who's the other guy?
He's going away though, isn't he?
Yeah. It does put you off picking them, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
Especially when it's like a 50-50 choice.
Yeah.
I'd go for Johnny Hill, I think. So is that three we've got?
We've got four with George there Martin.
We'll just take that four.
All right, that'll do.
That doesn't matter. It's done.
Okay, back row. How many back row do we need? Should we have...
Five or six. Five, maybe.
Let's go with five.
Let's go with five. I guess because we've got some versatility in the second row.
So, back row.
Jack Willis.
Yep. Tom Curry. Who was, I thought was class in the final, by the way. On the losing side.
Zach Mercer.
Class. Yeah. Because I think he could play at six as well.
Your favourite, Ben Earl.
Oh, shit, yeah. Billy.
Is that our full comparison?
Oh, no. I think Billy's going to be in. We need a big eight, don't we?
Yeah. Is that us up to our full quarter in one goal?
That is now it. I think...
Should I mention it? Should I just throw over a name? Yeah, I think he's... Yeah. I think the one thing I can say about Dom Brand...
That's harsh. I said he's done. He's not done.
At least he was given a fair crack of the whip.
Yeah, he was.
He was. Sam Simmons.
I think Mercer kind of... replaces him, to be honest.
Tom Pearson.
That is actually a good shout. Yeah, that is a good shout.
I reckon Ben Earl might not get in. He'd be in my squad, in our squad, and he is in our squad.
That is crazy if he doesn't get in.
I feel like you'll pick Lewis Ludlam.
who, to be fair,
is a good player.
He's been very good every time he's played for England. Do we need more back rows than five? Surely.
There's just too much choice in the back row. Can any of them play prop? Can you imagine Sam Underhill at tight head?
Is he still playing rugby?
I don't know.
He is.
He's fantastic though.
Ben Curry's injured,
isn't he? I wouldn't have him in anywhere.
No, but
Tom Willis?
I don't think so. No.
Sam Simmons?
It was a nice thought.
Who would have thought a year and a half ago Sam Simmons would be like, oh, get in the bins.
Yeah, I know.
Will Evans?
No.
Ted Hill?
Oh, not a bad shout as a wild card, a bit of a bolter.
I feel like it depends who gets injured, doesn't it? Because if Jack Willis got injured, I'd think Ted Hill, similar sort.
Yeah.
If you're doing like for like swaps.
Well, we're currently on six. And we think we've got five slots. We've got Jack Willis, Tom Curry, Zach Mercer, Ben Earl, Billy, Tom Pearson. It's probably Tom Pearson's got to get, hasn't he?
He loses his club, and now you're taking his place in our England squad away. That's brutal.
Oh, actually, we didn't mention Matt Rogerson for second row / back row. Rumour has it he might be in.
In the wider one.
Rumour has it. In the wider one, yeah, true.
Yeah, you could... God, this is just the part of the field where we've actually got a lot of strength and depth. Not sure how good they are. Well, they are all very decent. But like nobody's like standing above the parapet.
I could just
they?
Change the little number next to the back. It says five. I could change that to six.
And change it to six.
Okay,
to six.
There we go.
You could change it to ten.
Well done, Tom Pearson. You're in.
Congratulations.
Scrum halves.
One, two, or three, don't we? I loved it when in the World Cup we only had two or something, so we called in like like a Japanese fella to play in an England kit. Can you remember?
I do remember. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wasn't he supposed to be, who was he supposed to be emulating? DuPont or something like
yeah.
that. Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. I mean, it's going to be Ben Youngs.
Do you think so? I'm not
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not 100%
nah,
sure.
He's not going to sack off 120 caps.
He did in the Six Nations.
Yeah, but we're talking squad. I don't think he'll start.
Oh, okay.
Young's JVP Mitchell. But I love Rafi so much. Can we have four?
Should be Rafi. If I'm picking my score, I'm picking Mitchell and Rafi. I'm not picking JVP. I don't think he's played very well for the last 6 months.
Let's do it. Rafi, you're in.
JVP, you've unlucky got a cool JVP. Name there, but you need more than a cool name these days.
I love Rafi Quirk so much.
Just needs to stay fit a bit.
He was so good off the bench as well. Mate, to be fair, I'll tell you who else is really good. Gus War.
Yeah, he's good.
Sailor doing all right for nines. Having lost.
Is Wigglesworth available? Wigglesworth's already in, technically.
I honestly, would I prefer Wigglesworth to Ben Youngs?
Probably.
Maybe.
To play that last 10-minute role.
Maybe I would.
I bet he's more suited to playing like last 10 minutes, seen out a game.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that was relatively straightforward. Fly halves, how many are we allowing ourselves? It's got to be three again, hasn't it?
I guess two, and we'll put the other one in the centres.
So we're not going to name Owen Fowler as a fly half?
Well, we'll name him as a fly half and then reduce the numbers.
Yeah, okay. Is it the three we
think? So we're picking Farrell, Ford and Finn Smith.
Farrell, Ford and Finn Smith, yeah. A very good player, by the way.
Do you know what?
Do we want Marcus in?
Yeah, I think so.
Chuck him in. 23rd man. Let the boy play.
Squad's coming together nicely, I think.
It sounds all right, doesn't it? Centres. How many of these do we have?
I don't know.
Where are we up to, numbers-wise?
We've got...
How many were we picking? 33.
I think we've got 40
Which
already.
It also doesn't matter. We can pick as many as we want.
We've spoken the world with 30, this morning. We've had a squad extension.
90, 22.
We'll just name no wingers.
25. We've got 25. We've only got to pick centres and back three. So we can have four of those each. Don't need four centres, do we? Let's have three centres, five
we'll
back three.
We're probably just going to pick Lawrence, Manu and Slade anyway.
Let's have three centres, five back three, and I think that gets us to 33.
Yeah.
Yeah? Manu Tuilagi. Ollie Lawrence.
Henry Slade.
Henry Slade. Although.
You think Big Joe, Little Joe.
Big Joe, Little Joe.
Who's Joe Marchant, I was
thinking. Oh, no, I was actually thinking Elliot Daly.
Oh, yeah, but he can be in our back three.
Yeah, true.
So we've got five.
Henry Slade. And now I think we've got five options for back three.
We pick Elliot Daly in every squad we've ever picked, by the way. I remember when we did our...
Why do we do that, Steve?
Because he can kick it a long way.
Because he kicks it miles, that's why.
I remember he was in our 2021 Lions squad.
Back three. He's going to be first name on the list, mate. Elliot Daly.
Freddie Stewart.
Max Malins, do we think?
Yes.
Yes. And then...
We've got two spots.
Two spots left. Probably two wingers, really, because we've got... Daly can play 15. Slade can play 15.
Yeah.
So I think we need two out-and-out wingers. So you've Radders. Got the likes of Radders.
Hassel Collins.
Adam Roebuck. As a rogue one.
Yeah.
If he's English, he might not be.
I think he's Scottish, but can play for England.
Okay, perfect.
Murley.
Caden Murley. He went a bit off the boil, didn't he, towards the end of the year?
Yeah.
I mean, Quinns did generally, but...
Big Joe,
Thokkonen Singer.
Arundel.
Oh, I think he'll be in. I think we can safely put him in the list.
So we've got one spot.
One spot for one winger, really.
I think it's between Anthony Watts and Tommy Freeman and Adam Radwan.
I think they are all good shouts. Who would you want out of those three?
Radders.
Who
would I pick?
Who's going to be out of those three?
Tommy Freeman.
That means... So Anthony Watson's missing out?
Yeah.
Is that right? Well, he'll probably be in instead of Elliot Daly.
He probably will be. I just... Has Watson really looked I don't know.
He's been all right.
We forgot about Jonathan right. Joseph in the centres.
Chris Ashton.
A grand finale for Chris.
What a career he's had, by the way.
No one can accuse him of having a boring career.
No. No. Finished in style as well. Right. 9, 13, 19, 22, 25, 28, 33. We've done it, mate.
Going back to Ashton, he's definitely the sort of player who might just think, fuck it, and just come out retirement halfway through next season.
Yes, I could definitely see that happening. Yeah, could have, like
we signed with Saints or something during the injury crisis.
Yeah. All right.
I was going to say sign for Saracens now because I completely forgot he ever played for them.
Yeah, mate. He scored a bucket load of tries with
them. I know. I was just like, oh yes.
I think he's won 5 prems technically. He won with Quinns. He was there for like 2 weeks and he won with Quinns.
Yeah. Who didn't he play for? Just the Falcons, I think.
Who is he playing for? Saints, Sarries, Sale, Leicester. Quinns, Leicester.
Worcester?
That's a great shout. He's played for 6. There's only 10 teams in the Prem. He's played for 6. I mean, one's now gone, but that's nuts, isn't it?
I think he'll be up there, and
he's won the Prem.
Yeah.
Sarries, Leicester, Quinns. And Quinns. And Saints?
No, because Partly got sent off. I think that was the final he played in.
Cheating bastard, Wayne Barnes. All right, so let's run through and see how it looks sort of holistically. Genge, Rod, Hayes, Sinclair, Vanapola, Stewart, Jamie George, Theodan, Cowan Dickey, Itoje, Chesham, George Martin, Johnny Hill, Willis, Curry, Mercer, Earl, Vanapola, Pearson, Youngs, Quirk, Mitchell, Farrell, Ford, Smith, Tuolangi, Lawrence, Slade, Daly, Steward, Maylands, Arundel, Freeman.
It's coming home.
It is coming home.
The World Cup's on.
That
play.
Is unbelievable. I actually quite like that. Starting 15 from that squad, like bash it out.
Genge.
George.
Sinclair.
Itoje. Toje Chesham, I reckon. Do you think?
Yeah. Laws. Curry.
Did we put Laws in?
Or did we say we're going to put him in the back?
No, Corey Laws isn't in the squad.
Well, I meant...
Oh, no. Absolutely.
You know what? That's what he gets for being so... being conservative. Oh, that's what you get,
Christ.
Courtney.
What are we doing?
He's out.
He's out.
He's
too late.
You've already read through. Fine.
Courtney's out. Curry.
It's like watching Mike Bassett, England manager. We just forgot to put him in.
God. Curry, Willis, Billy?
Zach.
Yeah. Curry, Willis, Mercer. Who's you on at 9?
Mitchell,
again? Yes, he's in the squad. Yeah,
Ford.
Yeah. No,
you're not thinking Ford.
You thinking Ford? You want Ford, Farrell, Tuolangi?
I was going in Ford, Farrell, Sale, but Ford, Farrell, Sale, Ford, Farrell, Slade.
Ford, Farrell, Slade. Just bull playing.
You think we should go
Farrell,
Lawrence, Tuolangi?
Now, really play to our strengths. Yeah. I think Faz, Manu, Slade.
Yeah, do
that. I think that is our
back to Ireland 2017.
Yeah, that is our best, I think. Farrell, Manu, Slade. And then back 3, Maylands,
Stewart. Who else do we have?
Daly, Arundel or Freeman.
Daly, of course.
Daly, get him in for the boot. Okay, so
him and Slade can sort of interlink.
So England's starting 15 for the World Cup final 2023.
Against Ireland, probably.
Against Georgia. Is going to be Ellis Genge, Jamie George, Carl Sinclair, Marito J, Ollie Chesham. A back 3 without Corny Laws.
You don't need him.
Tom Curry, Jack Willis, Zach Mercer. Maybe a bit lightweight.
Where would he get in, to be fair?
It's a bit
no, light. I think Tom's put on a big poundage.
He's so much bigger than his brother.
It's quite funny.
Yeah. Mitchell at 9.
He's been doing that conditioning.
Farrell, Manu, Slade, Maylands, Stewart, and of course, Elliot Daly. I mean, look, we could definitely pick worse teams.
We have.
I mean, I think we could definitely pick better as well if we hadn't forgotten about one of our best players. But that's, you know, that's fine. That's
he doesn't have the right culture for our squad.
No, I agree. He's too nice of bloke.
Yeah. We need Faz in there. We need people like that.
We want the anti-All Blacks mantra of no dickheads. We want as many dickheads as possible. So maybe we should get Marla in.
Late call up. What a boy, Joe Marla.
All right, I like it. I like that quite a lot. Captain?
Again? I don't know.
It's that debate, isn't it? That do you... We've had it before.
Do you want to just put it on your best player?
Do you need Farrell to be captain? No, but
Tom Curry.
Yeah, I do quite like that.
I quite like his. Can't think of the right word.
It is
interesting. I know you said ambiance, but that's not the right word. Sort of his like
aura.
Aura. There's a captain.
Yeah. It's interesting that we haven't seen, and I know there's a lot of chat that like maybe he's not right for it, but I find it interesting that we haven't even seen Marrow captain like once. Do you know what I mean? Because he's
probably too busy cheering.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Do you think that's what it is? Do you think it's just to let him like crack on and do his thing?
Especially when he's got like a degree in like politics. And I know. Stuff.
Or is he too? Do you think he's maybe too sort of like? Is he too calm and measured off the pitch? A bit quiet. Maybe
that shouldn't really affect on the pitch, should it? Like I don't know. Like
I just find it is like we've obviously seen Laws do it, seen Farrell do it, seen Genge do it. I'm just surprised that he hasn't been thrown in the mix. Seen Tom Curry do it.
You think it would have been beneficial for everyone to have? I guess they're behind the scenes and nobody seems to be clamouring for it behind the scenes. No. They must see something we don't.
And he probably provides a lot of value without being captain like we can.
Jimmy Ritchie's a good captain for Scotland, just while talking about captain.
Yes,
who even is captain of Wales? It's still the sheriff.
It's Adam and Jones, I think.
He's retired now.
Oh yeah, we didn't mention that. Adam and Jones, Tepper Rich, Reese Webb.
Yeah,
three?
Josh Navidi.
Navidi's on as well, that beautiful hair.
I'm sure there's five. Oh, it's just like Bradley Davis retired. It's a bit somehow Bobby's still around the squad.
Have you heard the murmurs about that stuff?
Being told they were getting it. No, not really, to be honest.
So, apparently, they've less retired because they felt like they couldn't play, but more so that they didn't like the... weren't enjoying the environment and the kind of what was going on within the Welsh camp.
Wouldn't be surprised. There's a lot of bad stuff going on at Wales.
But they're players that have played with Gats for a long time.
I don't think it's Gats they have the problem with, is it? I think it's more...
everything else.
Yeah. New chef came in. Not having him. Vegan diet. Alan Winston. Furious.
Trying to get Reece Carrier back on board. Oh, dear. But yeah, I mean, that is tangible tangents. But well done, Adam Wynn, on a very good career. You've done a good job. Mostly, I would say.
Yeah, definitely.
So
Justin Tipperick as well, player.
That's going to win the World Cup, mate. I think that 15, isn't it?
Talking about shock retirement, Hoggy kicking, hanging up the boots at 31.
Hanging up his massive boots. Do you... I think I get that, though.
I think I do. I think he's had an intense career.
Yeah.
And he started really young.
Exactly. He's like, been, like, on the scene for... A long time, hasn't it?
George North just doesn't really care about what people say and stuff on social media and stuff like that. I think Hoggy takes a lot of it to heart, and that's probably why it's been tougher for him.
And probably gets more stick than someone like George North as well.
I don't know. I mean, George North gets a lot of stick, but I just don't think he cares or takes it personally.
Yeah.
Well, Hog takes every negative thing, which I think if I was Hog, I would feel exactly the same. So I can't say much.
Well, he's going to sail
like
off
Alex
into
Cuthbert,
the sunset.
He used to be like the scapegoat for Wales for about 4 years. Yeah. Still just doing his thing.
I think he does a John Barkley and just goes straight into like punditry.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Do you reckon? He already punditry, does something. Do you remember when he was like a pundit for a Scotland game when he was captain of the Scotland squad, but he was rested for the game?
Yeah.
And he was like pundit, sat on the sofa. I was like...
I think he'd be straight in.
Seems like a conflict of interest, but...
Maybe he was tempted just to quit to be part of the World Cup punditry. Unless he signed on with BBC.
Cheeky injury in August. Oh, well, I got my flights booked anyway, actually.
bit like Finn Russell, I don't think he gives much of a crap about what people think about anything.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, here's a rogue one for you. Your dream World Cup pundit team.
Well, everyone, like, so a team of three.
I want a host, which could be a player, but generally not a player, and a team, like a three-man team, to talk about, let's say...
Just the World Cup final.
Whoever's in the World Cup final, yeah.
I think I would have Alex Payne.
Yes. Great shout.
I wish he did more.
Me too.
I know he does a lot of his own stuff, but I just wish he did more broadcasting like he used to.
I think he's excellent at it.
I'd go Alex Payne. Bod.
Yeah.
Brian O'Driscoll. God, I could easily just pick an Irish team.
They are good, aren't they?
Not Johnny Wilkinson. Not Sir Clive.
Sir Clive. not Martin Johnson for me.
No. He's all better than the two previous.
Not Gus Scott for me.
Basically, no one English.
None of the old boys, basically.
I like Flatman. I don't know if he's big enough for this occasion.
I'd almost be tempted to throw Flatman in as a rogue host.
He's good at that.
He's
now
doing more of that. I would have Flatman in as my sort of
roaming reporter.
Yes, on the touchline.
We'll have him on the touchline
and chimes in when there's a scrum penalty.
Yeah. We'll have him on the touchline with Michael Liner.
Yeah. Yes, I like it. I can't actually think who I like.
I like Dan Carter. Could I chuck Dan Carter in?
Mate, you can have who you want. This is your dream lineup.
Dan Carter, Bod.
Jonah Lomond.
Jesus, that is a dream. What a fella.
A Dylan Hartley, for example.
I do like
someone a bit more left field.
Yeah, go for Dylan Hartley, because then we've got an Englishman.
Sort of.
Englishish.
He's always very honest as well, I think.
Yeah, so Hartley, Dan Carter, Brian O'Driscoll with Alex Payne.
With Alex Payne and Flats roaming the sidelines.
With Michael Liner.
With Michael Liner. It's pretty good, that.
I forgot about Will Greenwood. I like Will Greenwood.
Yeah, I don't mind Will Greenwood.
Although I forgot he exists, because, like, I love the stuff he does on, like, TikTok and stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, he's another one where, why are we watching these boring twats on ITV? I'm not going to name any names when he's available.
You can name names.
I'm not naming names. I think everybody knows who's boring on ITV. They're still... I would say they're living off their past, but so is Will. But Will's actually a good broadcaster.
The best thing that will happen to ITV is England winning the World Cup again, so they can actually freshen it up a bit and get someone else on board. The
thing is, like, Sky Sports' ITV coverage can be a bit... but the pundits are usually pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually still like Sir Ian McGuigan as a pundit. He's all right.
Yes, I'd agree. I'll tell you who would be good, actually.
Who's doing the highlight show after the match?
Oh...
Maggie
Alfonsi. I mean, Healy and Kay are a great duo.
They're just doing the stand-up at the end of on a stage.
I do like a John Barkley.
I think he's quite good at getting to the, like, nitty-gritty bits that other commentators just...
Jim Hamilton does the rounds.
He does the interviews after the game.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. He has the banter.
He's got a big Jim Shaw t-shirt on while doing it. Sorry, Sonia McLaughlin.
What about Bafes? Is Martin Bayfield getting a look in here anywhere?
He just does an emotional intro.
Yeah, I like that.
The stars have aligned. The two clubs are meeting.
The sort of new Eddie Butler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I reckon he could play that role.
Yeah, I agree. Who's commentating? You and me.
Yeah, you and me. You, me, and Austin Healy.
I'd definitely have Flatman commentating. Definitely. If he can do both jobs.
Yeah.
I like Flatman's commentary.
Trying to remember who. Scott Hastings.
Scott.
Brian Moore.
Can we get rid of... Who do we have punditry-wise? We have Bod...
Carter and
Hartley.
Yeah.
Can we get rid of Hartley and have Rog instead?
Who?
Ronan O'Gara.
Oh, yeah, but two Irishmen.
Yeah, but he... Can we just have him on Zoom?
Can we have him on Zoom? like they did on the live.
Remote expert.
Yeah. And he has a whiteboard.
Yeah, okay, fine.
With those little circles that you can just move them out.
And he doesn't actually do anything with it. And
it's not like Sky Sports where they have all the electrical gear. It's more basic.
And then at the end he just says something like really profound. It's like, oh my God, yeah, he's great. He's great.
Marcus Smith, he can really play the game. Sounds like Jack Noll,
like
hasn't he?
It's like he's in the room. Is Jack Noll going to La Rochelle?
Yeah.
Is that a good signing? I was going to say that's a good signing, but would he play that much?
Flanker?
Hybrid player, maybe.
Eddie Jones?
Maybe.
I feel like if they win the final, I just want a two-man punditry team to go to of Eddie Jones and Sir Clive sat next to each other.
Oh, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? Yeah, Australia lose in the quarters or the semis. Eddie's out there anyway.
Yeah.
So he's like, fuck it, mate.
Joe Marlowe's outside the stadium talking to fans.
Like
Haskers DJ.
Like Quinnell used to do for the Lions.
Do you know what?
That he's got was a bus outside.
That was the best part. That was why the 2017 Lions was iconic, was him and his fucking bus.
That was good, wasn't it?
That's what the 21 tour missed.
That was good. It was great because it felt like, I mean, rugby fans are generally pretty good, but it felt like all the fans were like going to behave and actually like be good because like otherwise Quinnell would just fill them in.
So, like, I remember there's a bit where he's just like in a rock pose. Like, ooh, it's a bit chilly. And that tour was great.
Me.
21 was pants, but it was in a pants situation.
Yeah, it was.
Next one should be good.
Next one should be good, actually.
Yeah, what a dream punditry lineup we've selected there, by the way.
Yeah, I feel like
we've literally given everybody a job.
I feel like our wage bill is going to be pretty high here. There's a lot of people. Like, I think Carter might demand quite a lot of cash.
No, he's doing it for free.
Oh, is he? Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah, nice. Pro bono.
Yeah.
What a bloke. That is good.
Too hard flat is charged half a mil or so.
What about the dial-in referee? Is it got to be Nige?
He's the obvious choice, isn't he?
Yeah, but maybe too obvious.
Mark Clattenburg? I was devastated when I saw Clattenburg had been confirmed for Gladiators. That was the perfect role for Nigel Owens.
I had no idea.
To be on the reboot of Gladiators.
Mark Clattenburg is the referee on the new version of Gladiators.
There's three refs, but yeah, he's one of them.
Oh my God.
But do you not think that had Nigel Owens written all over it?
As in, he's going to be Gladiators ready, contenders ready.
Yeah. Oh, that's so Nigel to me.
Contenders?
Want a just clean game?
Ready! That would really suit a Welsh accent. That is a real shame. I didn't even know Gladiators was coming back.
Yeah, there's a couple of rugby connections.
Who's there?
There's a
like some rogue ex-pro who's like one of the Gladiators.
Yeah, I think so. Classic. There's a lass who's retired from Exeter.
Yeah.
Who's really good. Geordie Unsley, I think.
Yeah. I reckon that's a good gig if you can get it, being a Gladiator.
But she's quite rugby, though. So
I mean, it probably pays more, doesn't it? Let's be fair.
I hope that should as well.
What show's it? What channel's it on?
I don't even know.
Like Dave or something.
ITV, maybe?
ITV?
I think so.
It's on like proper TV.
Yeah. I think it's been, I can't even remember who's presented. Look, it's going
to
be wild.
I need to look this up. This might be the roguest tangent we've finished a pod on.
There's definitely an
ex
Newcastle Falcons player, one of the Gladiators.
Sebastian Chabot?
No, it's not.
He was saying it, wasn't
he? It's also nothing. It's actually nobody of any real.
Gladiators 2023. Here we go. Meet the lineup.
Ready.
Here we go.
They've all got weird names, though, now.
Bradley Walsh and his son Barney Walsh are set to present the reboot. Bradley Walsh is funny.
Alex Gray. Alex Gray has been confirmed as one of them.
Has he really? Who's he? What's his name going to be? Matt Does Fitness is on here.
Jody Unsley's Fury. Apollo.
Jesus, there's some large human beings on this show. Good
God. The rugby players are Apollo and Fury.
Oh yeah, there she is. Go on, Jody.
Go on, Alex Gray.
That's cool, that is. So she's 22 and she's like, fuck it, I'll be a Gladiator instead. Good for her.
She's deaf as well, I think.
She's what?
She's deaf as well. She's a real badass.
I didn't even mean to say she's what then. Sorry, Jess. Sorry, Jess. Oh, God.
She comes from like a proper fitness background, like family, like CrossFit. She's been in CrossFit since she was like 3.
He's gonna be. Who's he? Apollo.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, I'm sure he he's in much better shape than I am. His pick, he could be in better shape.
He needs to get where he needs to work on it. He's if you want to be one of the gladiators,
he's not quite as lean as I was hoping Apollo would be. Giant, on the other hand,
is he big?
He's a big old boy.
Oh, he's a big fella. He's a big fella.
He's a big boy, but then I reckon the best shape is Nitro.
Can't wait for next week when we're going to do our full Gladiators rugby lineup.
Nitro's a unit. But he's someone, isn't he? Harry Akinzariti, isn't he? Was he an athlete? Yeah, GB sprinter.
He doesn't look like he could run very fast anymore.
But he was in the... you know when we were really good at the 4x100 meters?
Who would get disqualified? We usually do.
We didn't. I don't think he ever won the Olympics, but we won like the world championships, and he was in that. And I was always like, "Oh my god, this bloke's enormous!" And now he's a gladiator. What a bloke? That's so cool.
I can't wait to forget to watch that when it comes back.
Yeah, I mean, I can't wait to never watch that show. That's going
to
be great.
I always think, oh, I'd love to watch that, and then it's been. I see an article cancelled. I'm like, oh, I forgot about that.
Do you watch any
television?
TV?
Nah.
I saw a thing the other day that was like, it was like a little promo that was like Anton Dett being like, tune into the final of Brit's Got Talent this Saturday, and I was like,
I only saw the final was on when I saw a tweet saying congratulations to the winner. I was like, I didn't even realize it had started.
Literally zero idea that it was on.
I watched the winner. I was like, what on earth is this?
The only like TV I watch
live sport
at the time is sport. Yeah.
You know, the only time I ever watch live TV is actually when I'm working on the Six Nations and the Six Nations finishes. And then I just sort of, I'm working and the telly just continues. And I can see why. And then I remember why I don't watch telly anymore.
Yeah.
Or when I go around my mum's, see a bit of Bargain Hunt, bit of Holmes Under the Hammer, bit of Dion Dublin.
And there's the stairs leading to the bedrooms. If you haven't seen that clip,
two down.
Look that up. It's amazing. It's great. And, what's the one? Can't Pay Will Take It Away. That's a favourite of mine. That's great.
Cash in the Attic.
That is great. This might be the worst ending to a podcast we've ever had. I think.
We always promise tangents.
If you are still with us, God bless you.
And watch Gladiators.
Watch Gladiators. Make sure you tune in. And we will hopefully see you next week, although you might be busy next week.
Wednesday booked in for a C-section. Not me, obviously.
Steve-O's having another baby next week.
Another one.
Bizarrely, because he's only just had his other one.
2 years ago. Over 2 years ago now.
That's crazy, isn't it? Exciting, mate. Exciting times.
Yeah, mate.
Exciting times. Another girl?
Another girl. But we'll make sure the pod has to take preference.
Of course it does. Of course it does. Is she going to be called Not Another Rugby Podcast?
Not Another Rugby Podcast, mate. Union. Call her Union.
Or maybe you could name her after one of our favourite players.
Elliot
Daly Smith. It's got a nice ring to it.
I was going to say, can Elliot be a boy's dad? I don't know.
I think it could be both.
I think it can.
Yeah, it can now.
Elle is Stranger Things woman, isn't it? 11.
Yes. Elliot could definitely be a girl's name. Definitely.
I can't remember.
Well, that I've done too much Googling of irrelevant stuff.
Let's move on to Holmes Under the Hammer.
Shall we leave it there?
Not another daily TV podcast. We've done an hour and we've not even mentioned Scuff.
Oh.
Right, I don't think we will. We'll tease for next time.
Tune in next time.
Tune in next time.
For a deep dive into, well, pardon the pun, into escaping. God's sake. That's it. That's it. That's it for episode 35 of Not Another Rugby Podcast, brought to you by ruck.co.uk and Altius Images. You can find us on Twitter at @ruckrugby, Instagram at ruck.co.uk, and just search Ruck Rugby to find us on TikTok and Facebook. You can visit our website, if for whatever reason you still want to, ruck.co.uk, for all of the latest rugby news and features, and links to all of our channels and our website can be found in the episode description below. Thank you for listening, truly, this week. Please subscribe to, rate, and share the podcast. Have a good week, and we will see you next time.